Welcome to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. Sometimes things just don't go quite to plan, and it doesn't matter how you roll it around in your head or the conversations that you have, you just can't sort it out on your own. That's just the way the world goes. Today we're joined by Peter Matthey, and he has a business called the Perth Mediation Centre. He's the expert in this and will be able to untangle your tangles and make things smooth, or at least get them resolved. Peter, welcome.
Hi.
Now, first thing that comes to mind when we talk about mediation is perhaps a little bit of knuckle crunching and some general tall people over the top of you going, oh, I've got a friend who's got a problem with you. Would you like to discuss it? That's not what you're talking about, is it?
No, we don't do any of that.
Have you ever been tempted? I've got to know.
No.
No?
No, we wouldn't. Oh, I'd never admit to that.
Okay, we can edit that bit out. No, I'm kidding.
I'd never admit to that. Look, mediation's always voluntary, so there's nothing compelling anyone to stay in mediation, from my perspective anyway, and there's never any pressure from me to actually agree to anything that you're not comfortable with. So it's a process of assisting people to have a really important conversation and explore why. So generally in our dealings with other people, we're pretty good at the what. Mm. You know, what I want, what I need.
What you did to me.
Yep, what I must have.
Yep.
All of those things. And we learn that from a very young age. And most of us can't remember because we're probably sitting in a pram and we were probably pointing at something, maybe in a supermarket, and screaming our lungs out. And at that point, probably mum, maybe dad, maybe grandma, took something off the shelf and put it in our mouth. And that was probably one of our earliest recollections of a successful positional bargaining.
Ah, so no negotiation there, positional bargaining.
That's right, it's a positional bargain. And positional bargaining is something that serves us pretty well from that point. In fact, the first time it happens, you're probably lying flat on your back and you've got a nappy with something in it that you want removed. It's a very, very early form of negotiation. We learn it very, very young, and it serves us very well. So when you go to Coles or Woolies, if you're a Woolies person, you walk around the aisles and you select the things you want, you put them in your trolley, and you know, don't you, that when you get to the checkout, you're going to give them what they ask for. Mm. That's a positional bargain. I want this stuff. They want their money. Goes into the bag, into the boot of the car. You go home, nice and convenient, right? The real challenge is, though, that when positional bargaining isn't working, mm-hmm. doing more of it probably isn't going to be that helpful. Right.
So just restating exactly what you want and over again is not going to necessarily resolve, unless you can wear the person down and make them give in.
Well, that's right. And you might get an outcome, but you probably aren't going to get agreement.
And you'll lose a relationship along the way.
Potentially. Mm. So, you know, saying the same thing again and again, or saying the same thing again and louder, or saying the same thing again and a little bit different. Or
it's like negotiating with a teenager, yes.
Yeah, getting your friend to come in and say it for you, or even maybe hiring a lawyer to say it for you and taking it to court isn't necessarily going to get you what you would call an agreement. It might give you a thing called an outcome.
Yeah.
So you might get what you want, or you might get a reasonable proportion of what you want, but you're not necessarily getting buy-in from the other person that you're dealing with. So what we try and do in mediation is a thing called interest-based negotiation. And if you think about the interests as what sits behind or underneath what you want, right? So the people that know most about this stuff, the real experts about this stuff, are based at Harvard University, and they talk about it as the underlying interests. So you might have two sisters, and there's a link to this story on my website, who are squabbling over an orange. Mm-hmm. Mum cuts the orange in half and gives them half each. She thinks that's a fair bargain, right? One of the sisters wanted to make some juice and the other one wanted to make a cake.
Right.
They could have both had 100% of what they wanted, but Mum didn't go to the interests, right? So neither of them were happy. So it's about understanding and hearing what the other person is saying, right? Dale Carnegie said in 1930 or whenever it was, he wrote the How to Win Friends and Influence People, understand your opponent, right? Stephen Covey said, I think it's the sixth important thing that he talks about, first seek to understand, right? People at Harvard say, listen, right? So by listening to what the other person is on about, by listening to what someone else's interests are, you might find common interest, right? If you find a common interest, I guarantee there's an agreement lurking just around the corner somewhere, right? Because once you find a common interest, then you can start generating some solutions that are going to work for both of you.
Mm. And is this something which, it sounds like a technique or which could be applied to not just business, but also to, be it relationship issues or anything along those kinds of lines? Do you work in all of the...
Yeah.
All those spaces?
The mediation will work in all sorts of areas. And you'll see mediation advertised across the whole spectrum of issues and disputes.
You often see that where you've got an agreement or a disagreement between maybe a tenant and a landlord. The first place they try to send them is to mediation or through that to work it through first. Yeah. Now, is that legally binding once you get to that stage?
Well, it can be. Mm-hmm. As mediators... we don't do legal advice. So you're either a lawyer, practicing as a lawyer, or you're practicing as a mediator. I'm not a lawyer, but I practice as a mediator. So one of the really fundamental principles of mediation is about impartiality. And as soon as you start providing advice, particularly legal advice, you are probably picking a side.
Yeah, okay.
All right? So that's considered to be a big no-no. So what happens after a mediation is that when people have found agreement and it's written up, they can then take that agreement to a lawyer or to a court or to whatever. You can actually do legal things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just if you do it for others, you need to be a lawyer with a practitioner number or whatever it is. So you can give your agreements various forms of legal effect by doing the next thing. But essentially what I'm about is helping people find agreement.
So finding that common ground.
Yeah.
And being able to say, hang on a minute, just breathe for a minute. Just why are you after this? And stop talking. And actually having that, so creating that, I suppose, that safe space for discussion almost.
That's right. Yeah. The mediation centre is set up as a safe place to have important conversations.
I can imagine every room with two doors.
No, it's not. It's actually an old house.
Oh, right.
And
well, that would bring a certain amount of familiarity and comfort on, rather than coming to some sanitised, glassy building with flash art, surely.
Yeah, and really thin walls. So so that's, the upside of having, a repurposed house is it's a very confidential space. It's very private. There's no one else there when you're there other than me and the person you're there to talk to. And everyone's got their own room, and it's very secure and safe and nice thick walls, so that anyone wants to have a confidential discussion with me or to phone someone up, you can do so knowing that there's no one else listening to you. So, that's the kind of underpinning of it all, is a safe place to have important conversations. And the sooner you come and do mediation, probably the easier it's going to be.
Your hole's not quite dug as deep.
That's right. So people who are in business might, and going into business partnerships, you know the thing.
Mm.
What could possibly go wrong? We've been friends forever.
Yes, yeah, right?
We've
absolutely.
Been friends forever. What could possibly go wrong? So what we can do in mediation, and it would probably be a mediation style process, because you're not coming because you're in conflict.
So that you're asking those what if questions.
Yeah, but working through what's important here. how much money do you need to make? How are you going to share the money out? Who's going to do the work? Who's going to dig the trenches? Who's going to do the computer? Who's going to lock up at night? Who's going to open up? Who's going to, you know, all of those things, the nuts and bolts things that might not be in the business plan that your bank manager asked for, are the things that are really going to hold your business together and really help you understand where you're up to and provide you with a basis for the next step. So if you've got a plan and you know what you've agreed to, you've actually got something to change if you need to change it. Because relationships always change.
Yeah, and I guess you can also ask those questions that perhaps that we don't want to think of. What happens if you get hit by a bus? Does that mean your business share automatically becomes part of your estate and can be taken over by a wife or a son or a daughter or something? Or is there something else in that space? Things that we don't perhaps want to think about on our own.
Well, that's right.
Okay.
Or does the other business partner have first choice about buying it off your estate?
And if they can't,
and how's that
how's that going to happen? Yeah, okay. Fantastic. So you said you were practicing as a mediator.
Yep.
How does one get to be a mediator? Is it you just particularly wise and people started asking you for advice?
No, if that was the thing, I wouldn't be doing it.
if everybody's asking me advice, I may as well set up a business. Is there more to it than
that? That's right. Well, I guess it's different things to different people. The more formal and the accepted way of becoming a mediator is you go off and do some training. Mm-hmm. And you can do that training with different people. I did it with our professional body that's called Resolution Institute. And once you've done the training, then you can become nationally accredited by submitting a video of your work, and it's assessed, and you get the letters NMAS to put after your name.
Nice.
So that's how you basically become a mediator. The next step is to become a family mediator. That's a family dispute resolution practitioner. Is you then need to do a graduate diploma, and that's a much longer process. And if you do the family mediation course, that's a much longer thing, and you'll do lots of role plays.
Because of course you've got children and such high emotion. Well, I guess business can be highly emotive as well,
it's pretty important stuff, you know, like how can people care for their children after they've separated?
When they're no longer, So care for your children while we no longer care for each other. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this something you've always done?
No, I haven't always done it. I've worked in community work for a very long time. I did a bunch of different things. I actually did an apprenticeship as a telephone technician when I was a young boy. And did some sales work and different things, farm work. And then I got into community services when I was about 25 and worked in the not-for-profit sector, helping people get jobs and youth services and all that kind of thing. And then I joined up with the government and I was a public servant working in different agencies for a time. And then 11 years ago tomorrow, I finished up with the government and set up my own consulting practice and was doing management consulting.
Okay.
And then from there, I decided to train as a mediator, and I've been building the practice ever since.
Is that because you saw that there was so much conflict and you thought, hang on, there's got to be an easier and more useful way of serving in this space?
Yeah, I did actually. I was doing quite a lot of business planning and, you know, working with groups, you know, not-for-profits and in government, you know, it was to develop business plans. And I decided that I'd rather not just skate over the tricky questions. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a bit more important to start getting to the meat and potatoes. Okay. And cool. So I took myself off to do this training.
Right. Well, you've obviously got a huge amount of experience in the space, and you've not seen it all, but certainly seen a huge variation of what can go wrong and what can cause conflict within relationships, either business relationships or family relationships or whatever.
Yeah.
While I appreciate that advice is only general and et cetera, you know, all the riders that you would normally put in there, if someone is finding themselves heading down a road where they can see it's going to become a train wreck, what would you suggest that they do first themselves? Is there a step they could take or something they could do to perhaps make it less of a problem?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing to try and do is really understand what's happening for the other people or the other person involved.
Okay, so stop, take a breath and go,
listen,
what's actually going on here? And maybe ask, why is this so important to you?
Particularly, it's a thing about being a folk, really.
A folk?
A folk. Yeah, we're all folk.
Mm.
And I'm a folk. It's a bit, just now I see it.
Right.
That we tend to think that everything will be okay if only that other person would do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But the only things that we can actually take responsibility for and ensure are going to happen are what we do ourselves.
Mm.
So there may be, through some process of understanding what's happening for the other person and thinking about how the other person might be hearing what's being said, because there's always what's said and what's understood.
Mm.
And they're not often, or quite often not, the same thing. Right? So, you know, how does that work? And when I say this, this other person goes nuts because they think that could become, okay, so how can I say that differently so that they actually understand what I mean?
Mm. Or how can I explain why this is so important to me?
Yeah.
Because there's always usually a base relationship to start with, isn't it? It's not common to have this massive conflict with someone you don't already have some sort of relationship with, be it a business person.
Yeah,
it's fairly unlikely. Things tend to go horribly wrong. I mean, unless, of course, you crash into their car and you didn't know them beforehand. But, you know,
that's right.
There's always a something. There was always a starting point.
Yeah, and where there's a relationship to maintain, a relationship that has some value, mediation can be very helpful in working through that. You know, you might have the opportunity to go to court and say terrible things about each other, which is sure to go very well in building a relationship. Or you can try mediation and look at how you can actually work towards restoring the relationship and building trust back in again.
Mm, okay, really important. Mm. So if people are listening and they find that they're perhaps either starting a new relationship, they want to get off on the right footing from a business point of view, or they're finding they've got some wobbly wheels on and they really need to perhaps head this off at the pass, or worst case scenario, they've just up to their eyeballs in something they just have been trying to fix for an awfully long time. Yeah. What's the best way they can get hold of you, Peter?
Well, you can send me an email at peter@perthmediation.com.au, or you can give us a call on 9227 8511. Mm-hmm. Or just go to the website and follow the links.
Those links look fantastic. So that's perthmediation.com.au?
That's the one.
Fantastic. Well, that seems like really solid advice. Just because we create things, I think, in our heads which always are far worse than actually once you sit down and have that first conversation.
Mm.
You just tell yourself stories and about things which never happen and don't exist. So having that first conversation, perhaps with yourself sitting there going, guys, you know, how we can find some middle ground. Sounds like a really sensible and almost grown-up way to start.
Almost grown-up. Well, we hope so. It's a very structured process, so there's rules about how it all works.
No fights,
no
fisticuffs.
No. Perth Mediation Centre is a place of respect.
Nice. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.